Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Preach God's Word, and I appreciate the opportunity. Andrew is out of town in Phoenix, Arizona at the Salt River Congregation. He's doing a gospel meeting out there, and he took his family with him, and so we need to keep him and his family in our prayers for their safe return, and I'm sure he's doing good work out there. And we had a treat this morning. We got to listen to Andrew's preaching intern, Chris Elrod, as he preached to us this morning. And certainly wonderful. Man has a bright future in front of him, I do believe. And so we're going to be talking this evening. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. We're going to be primarily camping out in the book of Galatians, and we'll be observing some things from different chapters in that book this evening. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Bourne Identity. The plot of the movie is about a man named Jason Bourne. He's pulled from the sea with two bullets in his back, and he discovers that he has the skills of a very dangerous man, and he has no memory of any kind of his violent past. He tries to discover and unlock the secret to his own identity. He discovers a deadly truth while he's trying to do that, that he's an elite government agent. But to the government, Jason Bourne isn't just their property. He is a malfunctioning $30 million weapon. He is lethally trained. He is built to disappear. He is an agent on the run. And that's the whole premise for that movie and many others that followed. Bourne series was built upon that entire premise of Jason Bourne finding out who he really was. And he asks that question so many times, who am I? Who am I? What did I do? You see, he's capable of doing these incredible things. He's capable of winning a fight with nothing more than a rolled up magazine or a ballpoint pen. But those skills, those kinds of things don't even matter to him. All that matters to him is to discover who he is, to discover his own identity. As Christians, is our identity in Christ so important to us that we will stop at nothing to discover it? Does everything else shrink in importance to having that identity in Jesus? Do we relentlessly pursue that identity just as Jason Bourne did in those movies? If you think about it, most problems are traced back to an uncertainty with our identity. We have forgotten who we are. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us exactly who we are. It says you're a chosen race. He's talking about you. He says you are a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you are a people for God's own possession. When we forget our identity like Jason Bourne, we should be relentless to find it again. Hence the title for our talk tonight, Our Relentless Search for Identity. So where do we find this identity that we're going to be talking about tonight? Andrew has already talked a couple of times this month about where we sometimes like to find these identities. Sometimes we like to find them in our comfort, in the things that make us feel good, in the things that are safe and secure for us. Sometimes we don't like to challenge ourselves to go outside the box or to become uncomfortable. Being a Christian, as Andrew said, sometimes requires us to be uncomfortable in certain situations. Last week, Andrew talked about how we find our identity in our security, whether that's the country we live in, the size of our bank account. We need to find security in Jesus Christ, not in the world, not anything that we can build in this world. Next week, Andrew is going to talk about finding our identity in entertainment. And I think that'll be fascinating. But tonight, we're going to focus more a little bit generally on who we are in Jesus and the identity that we might have forgotten sometimes. Identity comes before activity. Sometimes we are often drawn to what we can do for Jesus rather than who we are in Jesus. Some of us follow what some authors would call a misplaced reality. We get discouraged and we get frustrated and we get tired and worn out because we forget who we really are. The reality of our existence, what really matters in our existence as Christians, is Jesus, His blood and His cross, and most importantly, His resurrection. And by that resurrection, we are new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the scripture up on the screen there, says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We need to know that we are not our former selves. We are not defined by our former sins or our present ones. Let me say that one more time. We are not defined by our former sins or our present ones. No matter how many times we drag those behind us like a heavy weight that the book of Hebrews talks about, we are not defined by those sins. We are not defined by what country we live in. We're not defined by what our skin color is. We're not defined by our accomplishments. We're not defined by our intelligence or our appearance. We need to find eternal value and meaning and worth and hope in who Jesus says we are in Him. Tonight, we're going to be looking at 6 identities that we have in Christ from the book of Galatians. 6 identities that are now ours through faith. God has made us, has He built these identities into us. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul takes a buzzsaw to legalism, so to speak. He does this by reminding the Galatians of their identity in Christ. He wants to show them the gospel and show them all the gifts of the gospel are better than anything that we could build or anything that we could accomplish in this life or find for ourselves. So, without further ado, here's 6 identities that are now ours through faith. 6 things that God says about us. Number 1, we are servants of Christ. Very simply, we are servants of Christ. Follow me with me in the book of Galatians if you have it open. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul asks this question. He says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." You see, he excludes something there. He says, if I'm trying to please men, then I can't please Christ. Those things do not go together. Simply put, we don't serve anything or anyone else. We don't serve the idols of wealth, of recognition, of status. We don't live for the approval of men. We live to spread the name of Christ. No Christian is insignificant. We are His servants. And the best part about this is that there are many, many, many ways that we can serve Christ. When we worship, we're serving Christ right now. When we pray for a sick Christian or someone who's lost a loved one, we're serving Christ. When we visit widows, we are serving Christ. When we write notes of encouragement, we're serving Christ. When we teach prisoners in the jail, we're serving Christ. When we cook a meal for those who maybe can't cook a meal for themselves, we're serving Christ. Do you get that idea here? There are tons of ways that you, and I know that you, as a congregation, serve Jesus. Jesus says this himself in the scripture that's on the screen there, Matthew 25, 35, and 36. Somewhat of a familiar passage, but he says it himself. He says, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And then down in verse 40 of Matthew 25, he says, "And the king will answer them and say, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" So number 1, we are servants, first and foremost, of Christ. Number 2, we are crucified with Christ. We sing this song all the time. And we sing the song that comes straight from the scripture that we're going to be talking about, Galatians 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now the life I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Just last week, I got to take a nice little short vacation with my family up to see some of Bonnie's family in Indianapolis. We went the opposite direction of the beach. And I don't know if you know this, but my wife is pretty incredible. And that virtue is no more evident than when I spend a week with my family. You see, my wife is a stay-at-home mom, and she is doing a fantastic job, her main job, of raising our three boys. But one thing I always realize whenever we go on a trip is that our kids are always there. They, like, never leave. They don't go off and do their own things sometimes. They're just always there. And that fact kind of escapes me sometimes because I get to come to work and I get to do things and I get to go out to lunch with the ministers sometimes and I get to do a thing. And then I come home and my wife has been with the boys all day long. She's with them almost 24 hours a day, almost all the time. And that fact escapes me, especially when I got to spend a week with them. They're just all there all the time. And see, when we're with Christ, I give that example, when we're with Christ, we're crucified with him. We live in him, he lives in us, and no matter where we go, Christ is with us. Not only that, he's at work within us, he's alive in us. Much like our own children, we're never alone. So in the second place tonight, we're crucified with Christ. Number three tonight, we are children of God. Very simply, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." Being called a child of God, having that title, means that we're part of the family of God. This is one of the perks of Christianity, so to speak. I mean, you may have a job that has perks. You may have a job that has benefits and things that come along with it. We were back in Indianapolis again this last week, and I was talking with one of my friends who works in the tech industry. Works for a big company who has an office in Indianapolis there, and their main office is in San Francisco, Silicon Valley. And he said he was actually going to visit there. He had heard stories about all the benefits and the perks that some of these tech companies have because they've got to lure in these engineers. They've got to make sure that they have all these nice perks. And it's just normal stuff, but it's very convenient stuff to have, like childcare on campus free, free dry cleaning, free lunch, stuff like that. My friend said that these were included in part of the thing. They were just perks of the job. The biggest perk of Christianity, of being a Christian, is being called a child of God. There's built-in protections with that. There's built-in benefits with that. We have all the perks of being one of God's own. We are cared for by God. We are led by His Spirit. We're not strangers anymore. We're family. So in the third place tonight, we are children of God. Number four, we are heirs with Christ of everything. Now, what does that mean? Galatians 3:29 says this. It says, "And if you are Christ's, if you belong to Him, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." I've never received an inheritance before, big or small. I've never gotten an inheritance before from my parents. Luckily, my parents are both still living. But I can imagine kind of what that would be like. Maybe you have gotten that from your parents. My grandfather passed away last year. And before he did, he signed over a building that he owned in Huntsville, downtown Huntsville. And it's worth quite a bit of money. And there's a lot of tenants in that building, and they rent it out, and there's businesses and things like that. And my dad has to do the upkeep, and along with his brother, my uncle. And they're now in the process of selling that building, which will sell for several hundred thousand dollars. What was his father's has become his. As Jesus' people, we may not realize this fact, but he gives us all that is his. As it says here in Galatians 3, verse 9, we are heirs of this promise. Whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to you and me. This may seem like a strange idea. We may not talk about it a lot, but I find it interesting. 1 Corinthians expounds on this a little bit in chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. Paul says, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or present or future, all are yours. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. So it's okay if in this life we don't have the best stuff. It's okay if we don't have the best house or the best car or the best lifestyle. Our inheritance after this life will be well worth the life that we are trying to live on this earth right now. So number four, we are heirs of Christ with everything. Number five, the fifth identity that we have, and I think is very, very important, is that we are free. We are free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 simply says, "For freedom in Christ has set you free." Talked a little bit about it last week in our July 4th service. But when we live in the land of the free, sometimes we often confuse the true nature of that freedom. For many of us, freedom has come to mean some sort of personal independence. The ability to make our own decisions, to choose our own path, to blaze our own trail, to do whatever we want, whenever we want. It's when some authors would call this outside freedom. But this is not the freedom that Jesus has promised us. This is not the freedom that they're talking about in, that Paul is talking about in Galatians 5 here. When Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah, he said that he had come to earth to proclaim freedom. Luke 4:18. On another occasion, he said, "If the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed." John 8, verse 36. Jesus was not setting us free to do whatever we wanted. He was setting us free to do what we ought to do. He was liberating us to walk in a relationship with God and to be the kind of people that He created us to be. This spiritual freedom is the ability to obey God and to choose His will for our lives. And this is the freedom, being free, that sin has long denied us. See, sin is always there. It's always a part of us, whether we like it or not. And it's the freedom that these clearance sales and shiny gadgets and social media followers won't give us either. Jesus shocked the Pharisees, who were the spiritual leaders of the day, when he stated that, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." He shocked them by saying that in John 8:34. Jesus was telling them here, he was emphatically saying that we are all under the power and control of a natural tendency to sin. We can't get away from it by ourselves. Sin brings a penalty. It brings a punishment that we can't escape either. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." You're not going to get anything from sin. You're not going to get any kind of payment from sin other than death. So how do we find freedom from the penalty and the power of sin? Like it or not, sin does have a power over us at times. That freedom, though, and being free and having that identity of being free in Christ, comes from Jesus' Christ's death on the cross as that payment for our sin. As we submit to Christ, sin loses its power. It's almost like one of those tipping scales. As we submit to Christ more and more, sin loses its power. Christ's power takes over. And we choose to trust and follow Him, those sinful habits, those thoughts and those attitudes, they lose their control. Guilt disappears. Peace of mind dominates. Right habits become the norm. That is true freedom, and that is the freedom that Paul is talking about here in Galatians 5. So number five, we are free. And last but not least, number six, we are led by the Spirit. Because we are free, just like we talked about, our actions and our thoughts and our ideals are no longer chained to that sin. Instead of being led around in those chains like prisoners in a penitentiary, we are led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So what does the Spirit use to lead us? It uses the Word of God. Instead of leaning on our own thoughts and leaning on our own understanding and our own desires, we can rest solely on His Word. But that has to be part of our identity. That has to be part of what Jesus speaks to us through His Word, not just something we read and sit in a pew on Sundays and read. So in conclusion this evening, as we conclude, I want to say one thing that I hope you remember. God has made you these things. God has built these identities into you. They are yours for the taking. Don't ever forget that. He's made us His servants. He has crucified us with His Son. He has allowed us to be called children of His. He's given us everything. He's freed us from sin, and He leads us by the Spirit. At the beginning of the sermon tonight, I mentioned Jason Bourne in the Bourne movies. He forgot who he was, quite literally. He had no idea who he was, and he relentlessly searched for that identity. And we are creatures who will be prone to forget who we truly belong to. You have been born into these six identities and more that we've talked about tonight. We need to live them. We need to love them. We need to let them be more than just Bible knowledge. We have never been and never will be determined by our past sins as long as we have our identity in Christ. Tonight, if you feel that you may have forgotten your own identity, your identity in Christ, you can always come back. One of the great things about Jesus is that He always forgives us. No matter what we have done, He will always welcome us with open arms if we have a true heart of repentance and come to Him. You can have a new identity in Him tonight, whether that's getting back on the path as a Christian, or you can have a new identity and saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for my sins and I want to be baptized for the remission of those sins. You can do that tonight. Establish a new identity tonight in Him while we stand and while we sing.